Have you heard the news that Major League Baseball may be biased about the Los Angeles Dodgers? Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of news, notes, and updates on all things Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Troy Brock. You can find me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. He's Drew Crabtree. You can follow him on the X Machine at Drew Crabtree 12. And we're going to talk about the just major, massive influx of all of the baseball games that were played yesterday, because there were so many five baseball games that were played yesterday. So it might take us all show. We're going to talk about the look ahead to the weekend series that we have going on. There's a bunch of good series this weekend. We're going to preview some of those and talk about all of those. And we're also going to talk about a tweet that was put out yesterday that kind of shed some more light on whether or not Major League Baseball does in fact have a bias toward the Los Angeles Dodgers. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon. We are trying to reach 500 subs before the end of April, so help us hit that milestone. If you're listening on audio, give us a five-star rating. Share the show with your friends. Send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. And check out the First Pitch Podcast newsletter. Today's issue touched on the notable injury updates across Major League Baseball. So make sure you check that out. The link for the newsletter will be in the description. It is free to subscribe, though we do appreciate any paid subscriptions because they do help keep the bills on around here. How you doing today, Drew?
You know, I was looking forward to this four-game series, the Reds and the Brewers, and I don't think the Reds are ever going to score runs ever again. So I'm just measuring up how tall my apartment building is and whether or not I can get one or two backflips in. It's just, yeah, I love baseball, but I hate the Reds right now.
Yeah, it has been a rough stretch that the Reds have been on. You know, it definitely could be worse. You know, you could be an Atlanta Braves fan where you are the only team remaining in baseball without a win. And there's only one team in Major League Baseball entering play today with only one win, and that is the Colorado Rockies, who lost again yesterday. But it is certainly a rough stretch that the Cincinnati Reds have been on. And we'll start our recap of yesterday's games with that Cincinnati Reds game. The Reds were at the Brewers, and they lost again by a 1-0 shutout. It is the third time in as many games the Reds have been shut out in a 1-0 ball game. Nick Lodolo on the mound takes the loss, giving up an unearned run in the fourth inning, the only run the Brewers pushed across. Nestor Cortez, who gave up a hell of a lot of runs in his first start of the year against the New York Yankees, pitches a gem really in his outing, lowers his ERA to 9, and even 9 on the year, and the Brewers take that one. Any other thoughts on that one there, Drew?
Nick Lodolo deserves better. The Reds starting rotation has been really good to this point, and the lineup has only been generating some incredibly weak contact. They had two fly balls that could have been home runs elsewhere, but you're not playing elsewhere. You're playing in Milwaukee, so you still got to make it work. It's super frustrating considering, you know, what we think that the Reds can do. But there's 162 games, and hopefully they're not 1-0 in the next, 155 games. So,
yeah, like we touched on, it has been a crazy run for the Cincinnati Reds so far with that stretch. It's what was the record? Isn't it a record, or it ties the 1960 Phillies? Is that what you said?
It is the sixth time in Major League Baseball history that a team is shut out 1-0 in three games. It is the second time in the live ball era that has happened, tying the 1960 Phillies. No team has done it four times in a row, and I would love it if we can say that again tomorrow, that no team has done it four times in a row.
We will have to wait and see, and we will definitely have an update for y'all about that on Monday. The Red Sox and the Orioles kicked off their series last night, and Charlie Morton took the mound for the Orioles, got the start, his second start as a member of the Baltimore Orioles, and it has not gone well for Charlie Morton. However, despite giving up five runs in as many innings, he did strike out 10 batters in five innings, and that did set a new record for Baltimore Orioles, as he is now the oldest pitcher to don an Orioles uniform and strike out double-digit batters. But the Red Sox did win that game 8-4. Any thoughts on this one, Drew?
No, that was pretty much it. Charlie Morton, good for you. Still doing it, collecting AARP and all.
Yes, indeedy. And speaking of collecting AARP, I don't know why, but that's my segue to this one. The Colorado Rockies got swept by the Philadelphia Phillies. And, you know, it was a better pitching matchup than we expected. When I previewed this game in yesterday's episode of the podcast, I said there was going to be a lot of runs scored by both teams, and the teams combined to score four runs. The Phillies scored three of them, and the Rockies only scored one. And Taijuan Walker pitched a six-inning shutout. He got the quality start. It is the best start he has made during his tenure with the Philadelphia Phillies, and it was completely unexpected. And in our First Pitch Discord, link for that is also in the description. One of the members of the Discord tagged me after the game and said, "You have to say some nice things about Taijuan Walker tomorrow." And you know what? Some nice things about Taijuan Walker. There you go. I said it. But no, it was a good start by Taijuan Walker. I'll give him his credit. I will give players their credit when it's due, and it is certainly due for Taijuan Walker. Great start by him. Try to do it again next time. We'll see. But next time the start will be against a much better team with a much better offense in the Atlanta Braves. So we'll see if he can keep that going. Any thoughts on that one, Drew?
I like how the Phillies were able to just do it all up and down the lineup last night with 11 hits. They had nine guys collect a hit. You know, future Hall of Famer Bryce Harper had two. You know, Real Muto had three. Was it Bryson Stott had two as well. Everybody was picking up the bats, and it's awesome. Obviously, you see that pretty often with the Rockies, but, you know, it's always nice to see when you get double-digit hits. Because it definitely takes the pressure off of what you would expect to be a rough outing from Walker. So it was definitely a good all-around win for the Phillies moving into this weekend's series.
Yes, absolutely. Good sweep, and we're going to get into the weekend series a little later on, but it's a big one coming up. And I also have some thoughts about Sunday Night Baseball, which is a little weird to me, but we'll get to that a little bit later. The Astros and the Twins, this one I said was going to be a good pitching matchup, and I mean, for the most part it was, but the Astros did score five runs on Joe Ryan, so how much of a good pitching matchup could that be in the long run? But yeah, Astros won that one 5-2. I think I'm pretty sure that was the most runs the Astros have scored all year in a single game. The offense showed up well, except for Jose Altuve, old man Altuve, the new left fielder. He struck out five times yesterday. It was he now has 11 strikeouts on the year through the season, and he is on pace for over 200 strikeouts. He struck out over 100 times in a single season for the first time in his career last year, and he's doubling down on that, though he is still batting above 300 with as many strikeouts as he has. But yeah, the Astros won this one 5-2. Any thoughts on this one, Drew?
Wear that golden sombrero proud, Jose.
Yeah, he's getting old. Obviously, he's going to decline. He's still hitting. Like I said, he's still hitting above 300, but the strikeouts are certainly increasing, and for some reason, they moved him to left field. I don't get it. Talked about it ad nauseum. But, yeah, Diamondbacks at the Yankees. This one, we expected a lot of runs in this one. I did say that yesterday when we previewed that one, and we got them. We got 16 runs. It was the highest combined score of all five games yesterday, 16 runs. The Yankees won 9-7. Merrill Kelly takes the loss, and Carlos Carrasco gets the win in that one. A lot of offense. I think Aaron Judge hit another home run. I am pulling up the box score right now. Yes, indeed, he did hit another home run, his fifth of the year. Jazz Chisholm Jr. hit his fourth of the year. While on the other side, Eugenio Suarez showed that he is, in fact, capable of keeping the ball in the yard, as he recorded a hit for the first time this season that was not a home run, but it was a double. And he went 1-for-3, and he still has an OPS above 1,000. Any thoughts on this one, Drew?
That was a very exciting game with, you know, what was it, 3-9? All but the Diamondbacks' 4 runs were scored in the first 4 innings. Like, they got off, and they got off hot. Good job by the Yankees, keeping the sweep off the board after they took care of the Brewers in the first series, and they destroyed the Brewers. But it's still the Yankees, it's still the Diamondbacks. Aaron Judge is a freak of nature. There's no way to put it. He's just a freak of nature. He's a 7-foot tall Goliath that can hit the ball into the next state. He's so much fun to watch, but it's still the Yankees.
Yes, spot on. Yeah, Aaron Judge is a monster, and he's going to be in Cooperstown one day. That's about all there is to that. But that was all of the games from yesterday's slate of games. Only 5 games yesterday. We do have a full slate of games today, and we've got a lot of day baseball games today, which is nice to have again on a Friday. I love this part of the season where there's a bunch of day games when we usually don't have day games. And so again, I said it the other day and it still rings true today. I love day baseball games because that means you can watch baseball all day long. We'll get into those games a little bit later on, but first, Drew, we need to talk about this supposed Los Angeles Dodgers bias that Major League Baseball has. I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but it's kind of been a thing on social media that people are saying that Major League Baseball has a Los Angeles Dodgers bias, and the Twitter account Brooksgate actually put out a graphic yesterday. This came out at 11:20 a.m. Central yesterday, so it has not been updated in almost 24 hours, so these figures can be different, but this graphic is the number of times the official @MLB account has tweeted about each team since opening day. And I'm going to throw this up on the screen for those of you watching on YouTube. There it is, folks, in plain and living color. The Los Angeles Dodgers have been tweeted about 68 times. At the far and away, the leader, the team that has been tweeted about the most by the @MLB account. Second place is the Yankees at 52. And the third place is the San Diego Padres at 33. Before we kind of touch on some more of the teams on this list, Drew, is the MLB bias around the Dodgers, is it real?
Oh, absolutely. They MLB absolutely has a bias around the large market teams. But that's also because the large market teams are the ones that make MLB the money. And if it wasn't for the Yankees and the Dodgers, smaller market teams like the homeless A's or the Reds or the Rockies, what have you, they would be even cheaper because, you know, these owners make money even before the first check is signed. It's funny. But, like, the thing is, for me, that part of Major League Baseball does not bother me. It would be cool if more of Major League Baseball came out and said the Dodgers are doing some sketchy stuff with their salaries and their payroll, only paying Shohei Ohtani a million or two and deferring it 50 years down the road is weird, but it's incredibly smart because it's a great loophole to exploit. But when you look at last year's revenue, the Dodgers were number one, $752 million. The Yankees, number two, $728 million. Now, the Padres, I think there's obviously an uptick because of that star power and the fact that they have started off so hot. They were 10th, $432 million. So the media coverage doesn't bother me nearly as much. It'll bother me down the line, of course, if, say, the NL MVP is between Shohei Ohtani and somebody else, and the somebody else has a legitimate argument, because I do still think that Shohei is gonna run away with the MVP. But it'll be like a college football situation where ESPN focuses on the SEC, whereas you might think that the Big Ten, I would say ACC or Big 12, but right now But if, you know, they focus in on those moneymakers because they have a financial stake in it. So for me, the at MLB Twitter focusing on the Dodgers and Yankees, that never has really bothered me. It is what it is at this point. They're their cash cows, and they're going to milk them until they are dry.
Yeah, yeah, you're pretty much spot on, Roll Tide, by the way. But I do kind of want to play a little bit of devil's advocate here. I'm gonna throw this back up on the screen because you know you touched on these teams being large market teams, and at the same time, you know the Yankees are second there with 52 times being tweeted about, and then way down in third, fourth, fifth, tied for sixth, seventh, eighth, way down in eighth, the other team in New York. The Mets being tweeted about only 20 times, and they signed the biggest free agent of the offseason in Juan Soto, who signed the largest contract in the history of professional sports, not just baseball, all professional sports. And then down tied for ninth right there, another maybe not as large of a market as the Dodgers and the Yankees, but the Philadelphia Phillies. And arguably, side note, they're tied with the Texas Rangers, who are in a large market in Dallas. But the Philadelphia Phillies are one of the three teams that entered the 2025 season as World Series favorites, along with the Atlanta Braves, who have only been tweeted about eight times despite their historic pace that they're on, and the Los Angeles Dodgers. So then you look more through this list, the Red Sox 16 times. You've got, let's see, the Kansas City Royals, who have one of the biggest stars in the game today in Bobby Witt Jr., have been tweeted about nine times. Let's see here. The Reds, 21 times. Ellie De La Cruz, another one of the biggest stars in the game. Baltimore Orioles, they have one of the biggest stars in the game in Gunnar Henderson. He's been injured. I can kind of understand that one to a point, but they are still playoff contenders. And, you know, Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball really as a whole has been pushing this whole hashtag grow the game thing for quite some time now. And actions speak louder than words. You know, they are working towards eliminating blackouts. However, I'm still blacked out of Braves, Marlins, and Rays games. So the blackouts are not completely eliminated. And I, being someone who's not going to watch every Braves game, every Marlins game, or every Rays game, I'm not going to pay extra for the services where I can watch those games. So blackouts do still exist. And then grow the game, they're still pushing essentially the same two teams that they always push. They're not spreading the love around all of Major League Baseball. Julio Rodriguez is another player. He's one of the others I couldn't think of yesterday who is more overhyped than he is good, but he is still popular. He's one of the most popular players in the game today. They've only tweeted about the Mariners 11 times. The San Francisco Giants are in third place in the National League West. They have one loss. They've been tweeted about 11 times. The Toronto Blue Jays, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., another one of the biggest stars in the game today, and Bo Bichette are both in contract years and will be free agents at the end of this season if they are not extended. Been tweeted about 11 times. Mike freaking Trout has been healthy so far this season. The Angels have been tweeted about 12 times. I know the Angels suck. They do have a winning record right now, but they still have Mike freaking Trout, who is one of the greatest players to ever set foot on a baseball field, regardless of the injuries, and specifically before the injuries. And if he can get away from the injuries now being a right fielder, that should continue. And so while, yes, I do understand your point of those are the cash cows. It's kind of like the ESPN thing that we talked about over the offseason, where Major League Baseball and ESPN are parting ways because ESPN doesn't talk about baseball. The only times they ever talk about baseball is Sunday Night Baseball. That's it. And then they may show highlights of home runs. They don't show good catches as much anymore as they used to. They'll show home runs, which that's boring to me. Like, I like watching home runs in a game, but if I'm watching a highlight package, I don't want to see a home run unless it's hit 600 feet. like on the top 10 plays of the week, I don't want to see a home run on the top 10 plays of the week. That's not a good play. I mean, you hit a ball far, cool. But, and so I do understand that they are pushing their cash cow in the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Yankees. But at the same time, you can't say grow the game out of one side of your mouth and then out of the other side of your mouth only talk about two teams that are in the game when the Yankees, over 162 games, are probably not going to make the playoffs because of the pitching staff that they have and the rest of the American League East and how strong the rest of the American League East is over 162 games. Can't say the same about the Dodgers. The Dodgers are making the playoffs. The Dodgers are a World Series favorite, but it's just the bias for the Los Angeles Dodgers to me is certainly there and certainly present. And I understand that it is because of money, but at the same time, if you're going to talk about growing the game, you got to talk about the other teams.
No, I'm definitely in agreement to you. Yeah. When I say that I understand it. And it is what it is. At a certain point, you know, with coming from a Reds fan point of view, it's just one of those chip on the shoulder kind of things where, you know, it's not surprising. But I do agree with you because before Shohei Ohtani, did Major League Baseball market the fact that Mike Trout was a superhuman freak playing baseball? No. Major League Baseball has a terrible marketing problem. They suck when it comes to promoting their stars because nobody honestly respects the All-Star game in any sport anymore. Because it's a fan, you know, it's a popularity contest. Despite the fact that Major League Baseball's All-Star Game is the realest out of all the sports, because you still have to play nine innings, you have to go, you know, pitcher versus batter, and it is easily the greatest All-Star Game. I think taking away the home field advantage thing probably took a little from it, which I'm neither here nor there about, because you know why should. You know, if it's the Dodgers in the World Series, why should they play four road games? Because, you know, the pitcher for the Rockies ends up giving up a grand slam in the All-Star game because every team has to have one or something like that. But no, I'm 100% with you. They were well within their rights to say, ESPN, you can go pound sand because you ignore us. And the NHL should do the same thing. Because I remember when I was in middle school and high school, and it was May through up until football season, the top 10 were those awesome web gems. Like, they used to care about baseball, and they don't anymore. I understand that NFL is king. I'm not going to fight that. I love the NFL. I love watching football. I can watch every single college football bowl game. I will get up for Bowling Green versus Georgia Southern at noon in Idaho. I don't care. But Major League Baseball is still Major League Baseball. It's been around for 150 years for a reason. And I get it. You don't need to feature the Rockies on every other tweet. You don't have to shove these sad teams that just are not trying. You don't have to try to do that. But at least pretend for a second. Because even if they are bad teams, they're going to have guys that come through. The Pirates, historically inept over the last however many decades, they got one of the best, if not the best, pitchers in the game in Paul Skenes. Why are you not shoving that down people's throat? I don't care if they're losing 90, 95 games a year. You should probably let people know when Paul Skenes is pitching. Be annoying about it. Everyone knows who Aaron Judge is. Everyone knows who the entire lineup of the Dodgers is. Give some love to those guys. Like, obviously, I want to see more Ellie De La Cruz, but I do want to see Jose Ramirez for the Guardians, because they have not tweeted about the Guardians, what, second fewest out of all of it? Unreal. Six times. Like, I get it. The AL mid is just awful. You know, they're god-awful. But there's still some stars in those on those teams. Yeah, like you said with the Royals, Bobby Witt Jr. I got to see him in person when they played at Cincinnati last year. He's special. I get it. Cash cows, etc. There's more great players in Major League Baseball than on the coasts, LA and New York. The Mets thing did surprise me because, you know, Juan Soto and the fact that Steve Cohen is spending $350 billion on their payroll. But no, I'm with you. You definitely need to spread the love around because Major League Baseball is a great game. It is a fantastic game, even if, you know, 75% of the owners aren't trying. It's still a great game.
Yeah, spot on. And just to add to your, they need to shove Paul Skeens down our throats, just like he shoves fastballs down opposing batters' throats.
Ayo.
And also, real quick, I do want to clarify my Julio Rodriguez hate, because I'm sure somebody's going to throw something in the comments about it. His OPS Plus has I don't know about this year, but before this year, his OPS Plus declined year over year in each year in all 3 years that he's been in Major League Baseball. So suck it. Yeah.
Well, that goes in with the marketing thing. When he was in the Home Run Derby and he set it on fire, everyone definitely thought that he was better than he was. So I like Julio Rodriguez. I like the Mariners because they're a fun underdog to root for. But I don't disagree with you. But yeah, no, Home Run Derby, people watch that because everyone likes home runs, and everyone thought that, oh, well, this is the next big slugger, and he's good, but, you know.
Yeah, he's good, and he's a gold glover defensively, but offensively, he's way more overhyped than he is good. But and on the Home Run Derby, my son watched the Home Run Derby last year, the first one he's ever watched, and now Alec Bohm is his favorite Philadelphia Philly because Alec Bohm was in the Home Run Derby.
So I love that.
Do with that what you will. Apparently, my son will be throwing temper tantrums here in a couple of years when he's grown. But on to this. He's what?
I said he is a ginger, isn't he?
He is a ginger, yes.
We've got a temperament, my friend.
I am surrounded by gingers, man. I went from Lindsey Crosby, a ginger, as the co-host, to Drew Crabtree, a ginger, as the co-host. I'm married to a ginger. My son's a ginger. It's just gingers everywhere I look. I don't know what it is. I'm just a ginger magnet, apparently. But, yes, we're going to go ahead and jump into these weekend series now. And first up, it's not the first game of the day, but it is the first one on this list because of the account that I use for MLB.com. But the Braves and the Marlins. The Braves have a good chance, and we're going to go longer than 30 minutes, folks. I do apologize, but it's Friday. You could use some extra baseball talk. The Braves have a good chance of ending their winless streak to start the year against the Miami Marlins, though they do have to get through Max Mayer in today's outing. Spencer Schwellenbach on the mound. Do you think at some point in this weekend will the Braves get their first win?
I will go out on a limb and say yes, the Braves will win at least one game. if there's going to be a team that you get right by, it'll be the Marlins. Yeah, they're 4-3. It's still the Marlins. I'm not convinced that they're trying to win either. So, no. I'll go out on a limb and say they will win at least one game to get into that win column, because Braves, man, it's rough watching, but they have the talent to do it. It's just they've run into buzzsaws. So, if they can come out of this with a sweep, I think everything will feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I think all the fans that have jumped off the bandwagon will climb back on the bandwagon if they come out with a sweep, but they do have a tough series after the Marlins. Dun, dun, dun. 1:10 p.m. Eastern is the first game of the White Sox and Tigers series this weekend. Jack Flaherty on the mound for Detroit. Not really. It's, as Drew put it earlier, the AL mid. It's just a bunch of mid. neither of those teams are going to be doing much later on this year. The Tigers had an improbable run last year to the playoffs. They will not repeat that this year. 2:10 p.m. Eastern, Cardinals and the Red Sox. Walker Buehler on the mound versus Eric Fetty. In that one, the Cardinals have overperformed while the Red Sox have underperformed, but should see the Red Sox start to turn that around soon. 2:20 p.m. Eastern, Padres at the Cubs. Shota Imanaga on the mound in the opener here of this series, and the Padres enter this one 7-0. Do you think the Cubs can snap the Padres streak to start the year?
I do. I am slowly becoming a believer in this Cubs team, as unfortunate as it is. I do think that the Cubs are they'll put a loss in the loss column, at least one. And it honestly would not surprise me all too much if they take 2 of 3. Shota is a solid pitcher. We saw that he pitched over in Japan, didn't he? I like the Cubs in this series just in general. The Padres are red hot, but I like to I'll say the Cubs will take 2 of 3 just to throw that out there for fun.
I like it. I like the Cubs more than I like the Padres, and I am a Shota Imanaga fan, and of course I love Kyle Tucker. So I do also like the Cubs. I don't know if I'd go as far as to say 2 of 3, because the Cubs, a lot of their wins did come against the Athletics in the minor league ballpark, but I do like the Cubs as well. Blue Jays and Mets in Queens. Tylor Megill against Kevin Gausman starting the series here. Blue Jays are 5-2. Mets are 3-3. Do the Mets gain ground on the Philadelphia Phillies, who we have not talked about their series yet, but do the Mets gain ground on the Philadelphia Phillies for the National League East division?
You know, I think it's going to be tough. The Jays they're going for it this year. And I like to see that. You know, Reds legend Kevin Gausman was really solid last year, and he's off to a pretty good start. He's, you know, 3 ERA, four strikeouts in that first appearance, but I think the Blue Jays should be able to take care of business as long as they're able to limit the runs scored by the Mets. I know that we don't have a Soto right now, but no, I like the Blue Jays. Miguel will make it harder for him with the 1.8 ERA, but I like Toronto in this one.
Yeah, I as well. The pitching on the surface, the starting pitching for the New York Mets has been good on the surface. Underneath, not so much. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on against the Blue Jays lineup. Also, the Mets have not really faced good lineups at this point in the season. They faced the Marlins and the Astros, so they really haven't faced good lineups to this point. So another thing to keep an eye on there. 4:10 p.m. Eastern start time for this one. Athletics at the Rockies. The minion, one of Gru's minions, and Beto taking on Feltner. Athletics are 2-5, and Rockies are the only team with only one win. Do the A's sweep this one, or do the Rockies get a win? Do they join the more than one win club and gain some ground over the Braves?
I think that gain some ground. Oh dear. I think the Rockies will take at least one, but this is the pillow fight of the century. That's you know, even bad baseball is still good baseball, but that's going to be an interesting series to watch. Honestly, those are two teams that are not trying. I think the Rockies will get at least one. I don't know if the A's have a sweep in them.
Yeah. I think this is the first game of the year in Coors. So the Rockies pitching staff that has been fantastic to this point might not be going forward. Yankees and Pirates, 4:12 p.m. Eastern. Max Fried getting his second start of the year with the Yankees. And the defense was not kind to him. The defense behind him was not kind. They committed 5 errors while he was on the mound in his last start, and that's something they're going to have to get a lot better at with Max Fried on the mound, because he is one of the preeminent ground ball pitchers in baseball. The Yankees kind of have a easy starting schedule to the year. Do they come out of this with a sweep?
Yeah. Honestly, it's very possible. The Pirates have been weird this year, but coming out of this with a sweep is definitely very possible. And I'm double checking. Yeah, they avoid Skeens. The toughest one will probably be on Sunday. The Pirates will be tossing Andrew Heaney, who was pretty good in his first go-around, five innings, only one earned run, four hits. But, yeah, the lineup of the Yankees is too good. I don't like predicting sweeps, but I think the Pirates might get swept out of their own stadium in this one, unfortunately, especially since they're not throwing Skeens in this one, the series.
Yeah, I think for me, I think the Yankees offense continues to do what the Yankees offense has done so far this season, though they will have a hard time keeping that up outside of Aaron Judge, over 162. Mariners and Giants start at 4:35 p.m. Eastern. The Seattle Mariners are throwing Luis Castillo for the second consecutive day. F. Castillo is starting this game, not the other Luis Castillo. And the F stands for freaking old rookie, because he's 30 years old and has only thrown three innings in Major League Baseball. He will be facing Justin Verlander. Giants 5-1, Mariners 3-4. Diamondbacks at the Nationals. And I do apologize, I have been lying to y'all all day, because the Colorado Rockies are not the only team with just one win, as the Washington Nationals also only have one win. So I have been lying to y'all all day long. But the Diamondbacks 4-3, Nationals 1-5. I think that's going to be more a series that's more fun than people expect. How do you feel about this series, that series this weekend, Drew?
I agree with you there. I like to see what the Diamondbacks are going to do, if they're going to continue on that, continue on their little warm streak after taking, two of three against the Yankees. They got Fat. Good Lord. I don't know. Am I pronouncing his name right? Fat.
Yep.
They got him pitching tonight. See if that extension is still worth it. That first start of his, was not as great. He's going into this obviously with the one start with a 4.5 ERA. Corbin Carroll, still star power. I think this will be a good series, a better one than people will expect. But I do still expect the Diamondbacks to come out on top when it's all said and done.
Yeah. I do expect this one to be entertaining. I've said it multiple times, I'm a lot higher on the Nationals than most this year, but I expect that one to be entertaining. We're going to skip the next one, go to the next one, because we're going to come back to that one last. 7:40 p.m. Eastern, Orioles at Royals. Dean Kramer and Seth Lugo get you started there in Kansas City. Both teams are below 500. Orioles are 3-4. Royals are 2-4. And it's what's been plaguing the Orioles this year is what we talked about all offseason. The starting pitching has been absolutely atrocious, and it has got them off to a 3-4 start. The offensive has done their best, and the bullpen has done their best, but they still have not been able to overcome the starting pitching. 8:05 p.m. Eastern, Tampa Bay, St. Pete Rays at Texas Rangers. Reds legend, is that Tyler or Greg?
Tyler Malley.
Did he pitch for the Reds? I know Greg did.
Tyler Malley is the one that pitched for the Reds. He's the one that came up through the system, threw a perfect game in the minors. That's the Reds legend that you're thinking of.
Okay, so not Greg. Greg didn't. Okay. All I know is that when the Mobile Bay Bears still existed, one of the Malleys, and I think it was Greg, was on the Bay Bears, and his music, because he was a reliever at the time, whenever he would come out of the bullpen, his music would be, I can't remember the name of the rapper, but it was the Molly rap song, and it was just very fun. I'm not a rap fan. I'm sure that most of y'all have noticed most of the t-shirts I wear are pop punk, I'm an emo kid, but that was still a fun song to listen to. Rays and Rangers, that should be a fun one. 8:10 p.m. Eastern, Reds at Brewers continue their series. Nick Martinez at T. Alexander. Reds look to score at least one run in this outing. You got any more thoughts on them before we move on to the next game?
Just please score once. One run, please. I don't know. I'm really hoping for a split, but goodness gracious. This starting rotation has been really good for the Reds, and the lineup has not rose to the occasion. So here's the hoping. You know, Nick Martinez is getting paid all that money. Don't suck, please.
Don't suck, indeed. 9:38 p.m. Eastern, Cleveland Guardians at Los Angeles Angels. The Guardians are below 500, as all of the teams in the American League Central are. The Angels are above 500, which is not something we expect over the full 162. Not really much to talk about in that series. A couple of stars, if Jose Ramirez is on the field, I'm not sure. I know he got hurt a few days ago. I'm not sure if he's going to be on the field. But Mike Trout should be. Don't think he's gotten hurt yet, so he should be on the field. But you could call it bias, but I do think that this is the best series of the weekend, and I saved it for last. 6:45 p.m. Eastern, the Los Angeles Dodgers at the Philadelphia Phillies. Yoshinobu Yamamoto taking the mound for the Dodgers in Game 1. Jesus Lizardo, who I affectionately call Jesus Lizard, is taking the mound for the Phillies, and he had a fantastic outing in his first start for the Phillies, and you know, I expect big things from him over the years, over the rest of the season. And this is what I wanted to talk about with Sunday Night Baseball, because we're going to jump ahead a couple of days here, and we're going to look at the Sunday slate of games. It's all day games. It's Sunday. That's to be expected. On Sunday Night Baseball, you have the right now 4-2 Cardinals against the right now 3-4 Red Sox. We don't expect the Red Sox to be good team over a full course of 162 games. We do expect the Red Sox to be a good team over the full course of 162 games. The pitching matchup in that game, Miles Michaelis and Sean Newcomb. Now let's go back and let's look at a game at 1:35 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. The Dodgers at the Phillies, two World Series favorites, a potential National League Championship Series preview, and the pitching matchup for that game, Tyler Glasnow at Christopher Sanchez, two aces. What in the freaking hell is ESPN thinking by putting the Cardinals and the Red Sox on Sunday Night Baseball instead of the Dodgers and the Phillies? This is why, this one right here, the MLB and Rob Manfred looked at the Sunday Night Baseball slate of games and they saw Cardinals and Red Sox instead of the Dodgers and Phillies. What? We're done. This contract's over. This is why MLB is pulling out. Like, what? Does this make any sense?
It makes absolutely no sense. Like, there are two games that I would be fine with, and it's the Dodgers, Phillies, and Cubs, Padres. Like, those are the only two matchups that would make sense on Sunday Night Baseball, and the Dodgers, Phillies are far and away the best series, the two best teams playing each other. You know, ace versus ace. I don't know. I don't make these decisions. They don't pay me enough to do these things. But like, yeah, 1:30 Eastern Daylight Time. Yeehaw. No, this matchup 100% should be on primetime. And it is malpractice, and it's incredible. Like, even when you're making the schedule and you're like, well, maybe they'll be okay, you know that these two are going to be two of the best teams in the NL at the very least in the offseason. Why wouldn't you plan for that? You've got this marquee matchup early season for a reason. Why would you not capitalize on it? Take advantage of that Dodgers bias that they have. Like, come on now. It's just Rob Manfred hates baseball.
Yeah, I don't get it. I will say in the other network's defense, the Phillies Dodgers game tonight is an Apple TV game. And then tomorrow, even though it is kind of a mid-afternoon game, it's going to be on FS1. Should be on Big Fox, but that's a different story. Actually, you know what? I'm going to look. Which game is on Big Fox? None of them. So both baseball games tomorrow are on FS1. The other one is the Reds and Brewers are going to be on national TV. So that's fun. But yeah, the Dodgers and Phillies, easily the series of the weekend. I talked about Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Jesus Lizard starting today. Tomorrow is going to be Roki Sasaki and Aaron Nola, and then Tyler Glasnow and Christopher Sanchez on Sunday. It's going to be a hell of a series. I don't mean to make this the Phillies pod, but here we are. I will point out also that last year against the Los Angeles Dodgers in six games, the Philadelphia Phillies went 5-1. against the Dodgers in the regular season. They did not face the Dodgers in the postseason because they swung. They couldn't hit the side of a boat. They couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. I don't know. It's early in the morning. But, yeah, it's going to be a fun series, and I expect big things from the Phillies, and I don't expect the Dodgers to come out on the other side with a zero in the loss column.
I agree there, and I also wouldn't apologize for making it a Phillies pod. I talk about the Reds too much, and at least the Phillies are good at baseball.
There it is, folks. But yes, overloaded episode of First Pitch. We kind of went along on a couple of things there, but it's okay. I hope y'all stuck with us. It's been a fun episode for me. I hope Drew's had fun as well. And if you're watching on YouTube, drop us a subscription, hit that notification button so you can be notified when more episodes go live, just like this one. They're usually 30 minutes if you're new here, but it is what it is. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating, get that follow button so you can be notified when a new episode drops in your feed. Send your friends to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get all of their daily source of news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. Check out the First Pitch newsletter. Link is in the description. Once again, today's newsletter talked about notable injury updates across baseball, as well as the notable things from yesterday's game. We touched on a couple of them, and the previews for today's game. It is free to subscribe to the First Pitch newsletter, though you can be a paid subscriber. We would greatly appreciate it. It does help keep the bills on around here. Until Monday, this has been First Pitch.